Another superstar of STEM, also organised by the Australian Science Media Centre for a day training at the SBS studios, has two other locations and another commitment for a finer future.
My name's Rebecca Duncan and I'm a polar marine biologist at Linnaeus University in Sweden and the University of Technology in Sydney.
That's a long way apart, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. I've been working between the Arctic and Australia for about 10 years now. So
not the Antarctic?
No, the Antarctic.
It's closer, you know.
It's a lot closer, but it's harder to do research down there, that's for sure. There's a lot going on in the Arctic that is worth our attention.
Do you go to polar regions yourself?
Yes, so I just got back from North Greenland a week ago. I was on an icebreaker for 2.5 months in the north of Greenland, and I go to the Arctic every year to do field work for a good couple of months.
And what do you look for?
So me personally, I am looking at the sea ice algae because they are the little microalgae phytoplankton that form the base of the food webs in the polar oceans. So my research is all about how they're changing with climate change because that will impact energy supply to the whole marine food web.
Oh, but you're not looking at ways which you can alleviate the problem of the ice melting?
Not me specifically, although lots of wonderful scientists are, thank goodness. But yeah, I'm looking at how the ice melting is going to impact our oceans and the energy supply in our oceans. Yeah.
Before we get to that, I want to lob you two ideas. One of them, happening in Cambridge, actually with someone from Australia, is to make the clouds more reflective by having tiny bits of ice up there. Mm-hmm. And similarly, a way in which you can make the ice thicker by other means. Do you think that sort of geoengineering has a future?
It's not my area of expertise, so it's difficult to say, but I am not personally attracted to those ideas. I feel like they are a little bit of a wish and a prayer, and I think, you know, we could really solve these problems with some more conventional solutions and make a better effort to look after our planet rather than trying to come up with these crazy big ideas. But I mean, I guess the thing with sea ice and trying to create better and bigger sea ice, it's a huge expansive area. Like 10% of our oceans are frozen. So the idea that we could have such a large impact with these geoengineered solutions, I find difficult to believe. I think we'd be better to just try and slow down the warming.
Yes, but that may take some time. We might not have enough time. That's the problem.
No, that's very true. And sometimes I do sometimes feel like a historian in my work rather than a scientist in that documenting what we have and these important, vitally important frozen ecosystems.
As a reporter, because you're a superstar of STEM, what are your colleagues, when you go on location and on those ships for 2.5 months, talking about the possibility of geoengineering? Are most of them rather like you, doubtful or what?
Yeah, I think most people, when we talk about these sorts of things, are fairly doubtful. We've had big ideas like this before in terms of they were talking about iron fertilisation in the ocean. Yeah, I don't think those ideas are particularly attractive to us as scientists.
Iron fertilisation, in other words, that makes the various life forms grow faster when you put the powdered, if you like, iron in.
Yeah, and I think with things like that, it's always the flow-on effects that we aren't fully aware of or understand, and I think that's where it gets a little bit dangerous. It always reminds me of the whole cane toad problem. Like, we try and solve one problem with this big idea that actually has more detriment than positive in the end. So yeah, and I think that's where we got to with the iron fertilization topic, was that it actually could cause more harm than good, and then it's too big and too late to actually come back from. So I think with these really large scale ideas, it's a bit scary if we don't fully understand the repercussions of them.
Of course, when it comes to ice and the effect on the oceans and so on, we all are concerned about polar bears, but what about where you are looking at? In other words, the algae, how are they changing?
Well, the algae changing directly impact polar bears. So if you care about polar bears, you need to care about algae, because they actually get nearly 100% of their nutrition indirectly from the algae. But algae are changing in the sense that they rely on the sea ice as habitat. So they grow within the bottom of the sea ice. And if we don't have that sea ice, then we don't have that habitat for the algae. Then there's not that algae for the little krills and other zooplankton to eat. Then there's not them for the fish to eat, and so on. So they're losing their habitat in the same way that polar bears are.
Indeed. Is it happening fast?
extremely fast. So recent research has just come out to say that we will probably lose all of the summer sea ice in the Arctic by 2030. So this isn't a problem to kick down the road. This isn't a problem for our grandchildren. This is a problem for us in the next decade. And that includes the last ice area, which is where I just was a week ago. And that's the ice north of Greenland that we knew to be the last ice on the planet that will be there year round. And we now think from the high resolution modelling that that will be not there in summer in 2030. So this is a 5 to 10 year problem, not a 50 to 100 year problem.
Hence you're wanting to be a superstar of STEM, going out there to tell the world to get their act together.
Yeah, exactly. This is not something to think about in generations from now. This is a today problem. And it impacts everybody. I mean, you don't have to specifically care about the polar regions if you don't want to, but them melting and the sea ice melting directly impacts us in Australia because it directly regulates our climate and all the climate stability all around the world. So when the sea ice melts, the world heats up, and no matter where you live, that directly impacts you. So everybody needs to care.
When are you going back to Sweden?
A couple of months. I'm never gone long. I usually am in the Arctic in April and May every year. That's when we get all the microalgae blooms. That's when we get 24-hour daylight, and that's when life is pumping in the Arctic. So that's an important time for us to be there. I'll be there in spring.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, study algal growth and you help polar bears. As we showed last week, there are also many fields of science, such as geology and psychology, where the nation's needs are clear and obvious, but where support has crashed. That was Rebecca Duncan just now from Linnaeus University in Sweden and also from the University of Technology in Sydney.